Morning. Can you hear me all right? Well, it's really lovely to see everyone here today. And just wanted to say that today I wanted to talk about being brave. And I think no one is more brave today than Christopher's family for coming here. And I had the privilege of teaching Christopher when he was 7 years old. And I will never forget how lovely and smiley he always was. Even when I saw him in town last week, he had the most lovely smile. So you guys are the bravest of all for coming today. Thank you. So I can remember two times when I was particularly brave. These ones came to mind straight away. The first time was when I was in New Zealand a long, long time ago. On my 27th birthday, I decided that I wanted to do something a little bit radical. So I did a bungee jump and I got my belly button pierced. And I'm really, really glad that I did it in that order, because I think if I'd got my belly button pierced before I did the bungee jump, I might never have walked again. But I still got it, amazingly. And I will never, ever forget doing that bungee jump, because it was over Lake Taupo, and it's one of the highest bungee jumps in the world, I think. My lovely sister was with me. And what happens is that you get a bit of elastic tied around your ankles together. But what's really weird is that elastic is only the size of your wrist, of your arm. And it feels extremely thin when you are walking out on a really long platform, which is meters above a big lake. And I remember just shuffling out there on this really, really long platform, just thinking, I remember that my mum and dad told me that if you do a big long jump like that, your eyes could fall out. And so I was really worried. But I remember the guy saying to me, 3, 2, 1, bungee. And I jumped off, screamed very, very loudly, and dropped down right down to the water, touched the water, and then came bouncing back up again. And then a boat comes and collects you from the bottom. And I remember walking back up with Han, my sister, and saying, wow, that felt amazing, I want to do it again. It was such an amazing experience. And although I was brave, I actually really, really enjoyed it. But another time when I was brave a little bit more recently was a time when I was at work, and I felt that I needed to go and tell somebody at work that I thought the decision they'd made wasn't the right one. I really felt it was unjust. And so I felt my legs absolutely shaking, and I went in to this person and I just said to them what I thought was right. And they got very angry with me and shouted at me. And although I didn't cry in front of them, I went home and I really cried because I felt so upset about it. So sometimes when you're being brave, it doesn't always have a good ending. But I asked a few of you a couple of weeks ago, it's about times when you've had to be brave, and we're just going to watch that.
I had to be brave when I was climbing up a really high climbing frame and I got stuck at the top, and I really didn't want to go down, and then I had to be brave and overcome a fear and then climb back down. Eventually I did it.
When my mum was in hospital.
When I fractured my ankle, then I had to be brave, because every day when I walked up to school, then with crutches on, then it hurt my hand. So
I had to be brave when I fell over a couple of weeks ago and knocked a tooth out and damaged my mouth. And I wasn't sure quite what was going to happen, so I felt like I needed to be brave.
They have one fear, death. So when my chicken died, and my cat, and my other cat, and my other cat.
When I had my stroke.
I had to, when I was at my old school and I was getting bullied, I had to not let fear completely take over me. I just had to forget about it, and because I couldn't let it, like, bother me even when I was doing my work, because it just disrupted me, you know, and always just got in me, so I just had to learn not to worry about it.
Sticking up for my friend at school, for a massive guy, like, 6 foot tall, he's like,
I cracked my head on a rock when I fell off a trampoline.
I had to be brave when I jumped out of an aeroplane with a parachute for charity.
I had to be brave when I did a dance competition and I forgot all the steps.
A time that I had to be brave was when I moved overseas for the first time and I was on my own, I didn't know anyone and I didn't even know where I was going to live.
I had to be brave when I was told in my dance class that I had to stand on somebody's shoulders. The person whose shoulders I was standing on, I didn't really know, so I had to trust them, and in the end it was actually really fun. When I was at PGO, I had to go down this abseiling wall, and it was really tall, and I didn't want to do it, but I did do it in the end. I had to be brave when I had to speak to people in assembly.
The thing I felt really, it was really amazing, was when I went and videoed the young people at Tom and Sarah's house, I just could not believe, I was blown away by how honest they were. And you might have heard some of them saying there that one of them had been bullied and someone else was saying that they were upset about a time that something had happened at school. And I thought they were really brave to be really honest. But the story that we're looking at this morning is the most well-known story. It's the story of David and Goliath. And although I've read this story many times and as a child I've read it many times, this time I watched a TED talk on YouTube that was by a guy called Malcolm Gladwell. And he has done a really amazing TED talk about the whole story of David and Goliath. And from watching that, I learned two new things that I just wanted to share with you this morning. The first thing was that Goliath may have been weaker than we thought. So we know that David and Goliath is a really famous story, that David is a small boy, obviously. But it says in the Bible that a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, the world's tallest man is just there. His name is Sultan Kosin, and he's a part-time farmer from Turkey. Now, he measures 8 feet. And 3 inches, but actually Goliath was even taller than that. His height was 6 cubits and a span, which is 9.75 feet or 3 meters. Now, I reckon that's about from the floor up to the top of that screen up there. So it was extremely tall. But even though we know he was really tall, he might still have been quite weak, because it says in the Bible that he was led to the fight in verse 41. And thank you to the guys who did that reading earlier on. It says that meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. So why was he led to the fight? Well, Malcolm Gladwell thinks that probably he had something wrong with him called gigantism, which is where there's an excessive growth hormone in the pituitary gland, and it can cause tumours. And possibly he had a tumour that was left him blind or partially sighted. So he might have needed to have been led to the fight by somebody because he really almost couldn't see, or he was very, very badly sighted. So although he might have been very tall, he might not have been quite as strong as we might have thought. Also, David might have been stronger than we thought. Because when I think of David in the fight, I always think that he used a slingshot a little bit like this. I don't know if any of you have thought that. You know, where you literally flick it and it goes, sorry, Jan, it wasn't going towards you. But actually, we know that David probably used a slingshot more like this one on the right-hand side that was used by the army. So David, as we know, looked after the sheep, and he had to literally fight off lions and bears. It says in verse 34 that your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. So the slingshot that David used would have been used by the army and the artillery. And it was a leather pouch with a string where you literally put the stones in it and then swung it round and threw it. And it's believed that the rocks that were launched from this slingshot were going at 6 to 7 revolutions per second, which is the same as a 45mm handgun. And experienced slingers, like David, would have been used in the army, and they could kill a target up to 200 metres away. So we know that David could handle this weapon. He could hit a target. And we all know the end of the story. We didn't quite finish that when we were doing the drama, but we know that David hit Goliath with a stone, don't we? That hit him in the middle of the forehead, and it got knocked to the ground, and then David came and sliced off his head. So David may have been stronger than we thought. Interestingly, the guy Malcolm Gladwell, who did the TED talk, who researched this story, rather than feeling disappointed by finding out these new facts, actually he said that he felt more excited. He said, "Here I was, writing about people of extraordinary circumstance, and it slowly dawned on me that I could have that too." And it said on the internet that he had begun to rediscover his faith through finding out more about this story. You see, this story is so powerful that it doesn't really matter how weak or how strong Goliath or David were. It doesn't really matter how extraordinary or ordinary the circumstances of the story are. It doesn't change the fact that David actually had to do something that day. He had to step out and be brave and do something that God had called him to do. He had to be brave, and I think that God still calls us to be brave today. He uses ordinary people like David, like you, and like me to do extraordinary things. And I'm not really talking about the things that we talked about in the video, things like climbing a climbing frame or doing a bungee jump, although that is a type of bravery. I think being brave for God is something a little bit different. I think it's when you feel the Holy Spirit inside of you and you have to do something that's stepping out in faith. When God calls us to stand up for him, it's sometimes standing up to be a little bit different and trying to do something maybe that nobody else is doing and to face some of the giants that we might have in our life. I'm talking about maybe being kind to that person that everybody else has left out. Or maybe taking time to listen to someone who you might find really annoying or who doesn't usually get heard. Maybe being brave and not gossiping or taking part in talking about someone when everyone else is. Or saying to your friends where you've been today, that you've been to church on Sunday, rather than just not remembering what you've done at the weekend. Maybe being brave when all your friends around you are swearing and you decide not to. I heard a story recently about a parent who was trying to get, his son was asking him to buy something for him on his PlayStation. And he was playing Fortnite, but he had his headphones on. So he was talking to his friends on the headphones. And the dad was saying, "What do you want me to do?" Like, he was trying to talk to him. And he was so busy listening on his headphones that he couldn't get out of the game. And he was in it so much, he didn't stop. So in the end, the dad pulled the headphone socket out. And so all of what the guy could hear on the headphones was coming out from the speaker. And he said the language was absolutely disgusting. He was really shocked. And I know that, you know, loads of people play on their games and they listen to that on the headphones. And so they have to choose to be brave, to not take part by swearing or talking about horrible things you might hear your friends talking about. You might have to take a stand for what's right over social media by choosing to either join in or maybe choosing not to join in. But perhaps the bravest thing you could ever do in your life is to be yourself. Be the person that God has created you to be. A really brilliant book and a film that we've watched as a family is a film called Wonder. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but it's about a boy with a disfigured face who has to be really, really brave and go to school. He's been homeschooled all his life by his mum, and she and the dad and him decides that he's going to go and face the world. And he normally wears a space helmet because he doesn't want everyone to stare at him. But he decides one day that he's going to go to school, and as you can see, everybody does stare at him. He said he learns to lower his eyes and to look at people's feet. But one really amazing thing that his sister says to him before he takes his helmet off on the very first day of school, she bends down to him and she says, "You can't blend in when you were born to stand out. You can't blend in when you were born to stand out." So I think God is calling us this morning, this week, and in our lives to be brave and to stand up and stand out for him. Let's pray. Dear God, please give us the strength and courage to be ourselves and to be the people that you created us to be. Please help us to remember how much you love us as we are and that you promise never to leave us or forsake us. Please help us to be brave and to stand up for you and for what is right, even when things are really difficult. Amen.